On the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
Very welcome along to On the Fringe this Tuesday with myself, John Keane, and jam-packed show on the way for you this evening. But joining me first, my first guest this evening, is Pat Grant, who is Waterford's brand new performing arts studio where every child shines. It's called Class Act. Now, Pat, you're no stranger to the stage or to shows or to music or dance or acting. This is something that you've brought on board where every child is a star. I love the concept of this. Your website is absolutely fantastic, classactwithpatgrant.com. Tell me a little bit about behind the scenes of it all, how it all came together for you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me in. So, I've been in this area for many, many years now. And I finished up in a previous job after 15 years. And most normal people would line up a job when they hand in their notice, but I hadn't. And so I had a lot of messages from parents asking me, would I ever consider maybe starting up a class myself? And I think that was the driving force, John. Particularly with teenage boys, to be able to express themselves in the arts is so, so important. It tends to happen more naturally for girls. And when I heard that a few teenage boys were gone back to living under their hood, and I just couldn't have that. So I had a lot of inquiries. And then with much chat at home, we decided to branch out. I'm working in the area many, many years. And we thought, look, let's give it a try.
You've been involved with the stage and everything for nearly 30 odd years of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not, as I say to you, you're no stranger to it. You've been tons of different shows over the years and well used to being on the stage in front of people. But the whole concept behind this, firstly, is that confidence is the big word here, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah,
so
it really is.
You said there a minute ago about, you know, the lads, the younger lads. What are we talking about, 12 to 15?
Well, we actually start with age 6 up to 18.
Right.
So they start really, really young. And they're getting a foundation in public speaking, which is tremendous for young people, because, you know, at some point they'll have to stand up in front of a group of people, whether it's in school or whatever level, even third level, or maybe at a family occasion like a wedding or a funeral, and read. And I know when we talk at home, we didn't have that foundation of public speaking when we were young. It wasn't there. And I think it's so important to have that level of comfort with standing and having a little bit of stagecraft as well, not fiddling or fidgeting, you know. So the name Class Act came from, they will be acting in class every week. That's where that came from.
I think it's brilliant. Now, you've broken it up into kind of different genres, and I'm going to go through some of these as well, because I think this is brilliant. You have the drama class, you do drama-focused classes, you'll also do the combined classes, drama and dance.
That's
combination,
right. Yep.
As well for that. But you've got it then, you've broken it down into the younger ages all the way through into teenagers. So give us a run through of that, where it starts.
Right, so we're starting with Starlets, and that's for the junior-senior age group bracket. Mm. And so that's just for 1 hour, and in that hour we're covering dance, drama and singing. And we had a marvellous class. We did a 2 week taster just before Christmas, John, and just for people to try it out and see if it's for them. And thankfully everybody has signed up, and siblings are now joining in as well. But with one particular class, they were this group, Starlets, and my wife was down talking with one of the mums outside, and she saw me bring the class down, and thought, oh, he's coming down too early. He didn't realise the time, it's his first class. But because they were so, so good, we decided to put on a little performance, which, like, you wouldn't generally do after one class with a group of children. Yeah. But we brought the parents up a little 10 minutes before the end of that class, their very first class, and they acted out a drama. They did.
What kind of a drama?
It was the story of Chicken Licken.
Right, okay. Oh, and, yes. Foxy Loxy.
Eggs, a turkey lurking, all the lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had so much fun with it. And we had that done. And it was just a little drama exercise. Mm. But when I saw the opportunity for them to act it out, I just thought, wouldn't it be great to kickstart this class now with a little live audience? And then we'd also done a little bit of dancing. So what was it? It was Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And then we did a little bit of singing. So we brought them in, they sang a Christmas song, they did their Christmas dance, and they acted out Chicken Licken. And shortly before we went down to call the parents up, they decided to shuffle around the parts. So the person who was Henny Penny decided to be Foxy Loxy, and the person who was Foxy Loxy wanted to be Chicken Licken or whoever. Now, this was when my heart started thumping out of my chest, because
they decided
among themselves, do you know what, it was great fun, but could I be your part, and maybe I could try this? And I was thinking, this won't work, because they now haven't rehearsed the part. But look, I had them for about 40 minutes and I just felt they were sponges. They were taking direction so well, particularly at that age, John, where there are no inhibitions.
Yeah.
And so they had the confidence. As we walked down the stairs, they turned to each other and said, well, would you mind if I did this, and would you mind, and they all swapped parts, nobody played the same part again. Mm. And I did not know how this was going to go, and I was almost second guessing myself as to whether I'll do this or not. I'm so happy I did. And yeah, the feedback from the parents, who really weren't expecting a performance after just three quarters of an hour, and they came up, and it was a great, great start.
They're brilliant. So that's the word, sponges. They take everything
really
like sponges.
Yeah. So that's the youngest age group.
That's the youngest, the starless. But then you have the rising stars.
That's like for first, second, and third class.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And yeah, and we're grouping that together because that's similar age. You know, you don't want an older person in with a younger class, and vice versa. Mm. So that's rising stars. Then the next age group after that is shining stars, and that's for fourth, fifth and sixth class. And then we're into our teens. Right. So we have our pop stars, who are first, second and third year.
Yeah.
And then we have our rock stars, who are fourth, fifth and sixth year.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Now that's what I was saying to you. I knew before we had a chat that you're taking from an early age, but you were talking about the lads who might, you know, when they get to a certain age, they start, you know, as the old phrase goes, they start smelling themselves.
That's exactly.
And they get a bit worried about what other people might think, and especially, you know, whatever it might be. Like, but how do you get through to them, and how do they react to saying, all right, okay, I will do that. I want to do it, but they don't want to let on sometimes they want to do it. It's nearly like a psychology course, I would imagine, isn't it?
It is. And when I was doing my degree, I think I was most interested in psychology and how we think. I suppose it helps being a male drama teacher and also a male choreographer for the lads in particular.
Right.
As I said earlier, I think it's quite expected that the girls will do it naturally. But with the lads, I think they have to step more out of their comfort zone. Mm. So, I remember one teenage guy coming to me a few years ago, and he was so thankful for the classes, because he said, as a result of working with girls in class on various levels of being an employer, an employee, a teacher, a student, in whatever scenario they might be in, he gained the confidence to talk to girls. And he said, he's had so many girlfriends in the last 6 months, and that's down to having confidence. So, you know,
that wasn't the plan.
Wasn't the plan, but hey, if it helps.
but that is brilliant. So, I mean, confidence is a big thing of it. Now, putting this together, is it just yourself? Have you other people that are teaching as well?
It's just myself
just
for
yourself.
Now. Yeah, I'm hoping to maybe invite in a few experienced tutors as doing little workshops from time to time. Yeah. That's something I'd really, really like to explore.
So where is it located? Where do they go? And what times do you do it then?
Okay, so we're out at the Airport Business Park, and we're there from Monday to Thursday. The earlier classes start at 3:15, and we work right up to 9 o'clock.
All right, okay. Yeah. So there's plenty of time then. And like, is there an end goal then at the end of every, is it, I won't say semester, but at the end of every course, to have a performance, to show that? Is there an opportunity for them to move on to wherever they want to move on to next and take the skills they've learned with you?
Absolutely. They can use this as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
But right now we want to really have them growing in confidence, those who are finding their voice as well. I often meet grandparents or parents saying to me, I have the perfect child for you. He's born for the stage. I'm not necessarily looking for the children who already have the confidence.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to be wonderful at everything and they'll shine naturally. But I am always looking for the person who was a little bit like me, John. I was uncomfortably shy as a child.
Right.
You probably find that hard to believe, but
just a small bit.
Yeah, but I actually was. I'm always looking to recognise that little soldier that I was to try and help them find their voice and grow in confidence. And sometimes they don't even realise they're doing it because they're playing a game and they're having fun. But all the time they're being creative and they're making new friends in a fun environment. And
yeah,
that's
brilliant.
What it's about.
It's absolutely brilliant. And the whole thing about it, as you said, we said already, like, it's the confidence of it and it's the learning. But I mean, I think one of the bigger parts of it, as you've already tipped on there as well, is that being able to speak out loud, but being able to, not so much loud, but to get your point across, have the confidence to say, because all these little things come into, as you say, into real life as well. Whether it's even looking for a job, or is that, you know,
the girlfriend,
looking for a girlfriend, looking for a boyfriend, looking for whatever it might be. But I mean, this confidence building within children, and as you say, the younger children are like sponges. We know that. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, but then as they get, you know, to a certain point of their teens, they say, well, look, I should have done a bit better. And they push harder again to do and to learn more. Like,
that's just it. It's a life skill.
Yeah.
And with regards to school, not everybody's academic. Mm. Not everybody shines on the sports field. And this is a great way to say, well, look, this is something I can do. And to step out and say, yeah, I'm comfortable with getting up on stage and pretending to be somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a great chance for them.
How do people get in contact with you, Pat?
So we're all socials. It's Class Act with Pat Grant. We have our Facebook page, Instagram. But if you look at the website there, Class Act with Pat Grant, you'll get all the info you need.
Yeah, the phone, the phone numbers, the websites, and all the prices, all the times, everything is there as well. It's a great new venture, and I wish you every single success with it, because I know you quite a long time now, as they say at this stage. And I mean, you love the stage, and you love the shows, and you love all that. And your passion for that will come across 100 times over with the children that are going to be learning now with you, and that you're going to teach over the next God knows how many years into the future. And I wish you every success with that. But Class Act with Pat Grant, check it out, classactpatgrant.com. You'll find everything you need to know there, any of the numbers, any of the times, locations, all the bits and pieces there. And it goes from the age scan, give us the age, lowest
from
up
age
to
6 up to 18.
6 to 18, I mean, that's a big chunk of an age to be looking after, from you know, for different skills and different, you know, skill sets that they learn,
getting off the devices and getting into something fun.
And and is that something that, before I let you go, phones must be left?
We don't need them.
You don't need them.
We absolutely don't need them.
Yeah.
You're there to make new friends, a non-competitive environment, having fun. Yeah. We don't need devices.
Brilliant.
You know?
Brilliant, brilliant. Class Act with Pat Grant. Pat, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very
much. Thank you so much, John, and continued success to you.
Thanks very much. We're back in a moment after this on The Fringe right here on WLR.
On The Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
You're very welcome back to On The Fringe this evening with myself, John Keane. And my second guest this evening was on Daisha Today this morning. His name is Gareth Wise, and he was chatting about the update on the campaign for a new community theatre in Tramore.
Now, in studio, I have Gareth Wise. Good morning, Gareth.
Good morning, Damien.
Good to see you. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having us in here.
Not
great to be chatting to you.
And hello to James. I know James couldn't make us this morning. Now, the situation regarding the campaign for a theatre in Tramore. Just remind our listeners, what is the situation? There isn't a fully fledged theatre in Tramore. The Coast Guard Centre is used every now and then for different things.
But why
is there a need for a theatre in Tramore?
Well, I think the demand sort of jumps off the page itself. If you've been to any of the Stage Mad productions around Tramore in the last while, I mean, we did the last one, the Seahorse Tragedy, and we sold it out. So, I mean, and it's just growing, the amount of groups and the amount of interest. And even James with Stage Mad, we're in doing a Streetcar Named Desire again a while ago, again sold out over 5 nights. So we were sort of, we realised we were pushing an open door. So 3 years, Tramore Area Community Theatre was a company set up by myself, James, and a bunch of other interested, experienced and very professional people from the arts and community and voluntary and media sectors. So the council, through Tramore Town Centre Management Group, applied for a feasibility study. This is 3 years ago. That was €50,000, and thankfully a representative from TACT, who was myself at the time, worked with the council, and we did the evaluation of the tendering for that. Dennis Byrne Associates were successful, and then I was sort of helping them with the council to get the bits of information that they needed about the feasibility study. So basically we brought them around Tramore and I showed them like 14 potential sites or whatever, you know. We gave them a business modelling sort of plans. We did cash flow analysis, and a very important thing, we did an online survey, which people might remember was a while ago. We got 5% of 500 people in Tramore replied to that survey. I mean, it's a phenomenal response, and they all said they're crying out for us. So I mean, the demand is just, it's absolutely huge. But the feasibility study was so successful in revealing the unmet demand in Tramore that they got an extension, which is why it's after taking so long, and I presume they got extra resources for it as well. And basically it started to grow and grow. So where it was a small community group and that developed into a company, it's now the council sort of taking it on as a project for themselves, when the feasibility study revealed that Tramore as a town, as a growing town, as the biggest town in the county and a growing town, needs facilities and services like this for its population.
So what's the breaking news, as they would say?
The breaking news is that the feasibility study is completed. It's with the council. It has to be brought to the next Tramore Town Centre Management Group meeting, which hopefully will be in the next couple of weeks. So they will basically accept this feasibility study. They will hopefully then recommend it to the full council, the plenary, and then council officials, council executives and councillors will agree that this is actually going to be the plan for the future development of Tramore along these lines of social, cultural, artistic, community, voluntary, sporting facilities and services in the town. So this will basically lay out the blueprint for the development of the town over the coming decades. And I'm talking decades. We're talking, this is a generational, a once in a generational opportunity for development of the town.
This potentially then could be a multi-million euro development.
Absolutely. And I know people are throwing around numbers crazy like that now. But when you start off with a theatre and it becomes much bigger, it does become bigger. You don't get much, unfortunately, these days for anything less than millions we're talking about. But this would be the biggest infrastructure project in Tramore in my lifetime, apart from maybe the Ring Road or something like that. As standalone projects, this has the potential to utterly transform the town of Tramore.
It's great news. So the feasibility study basically has confirmed what you knew, what a lot of people knew, but has put it down on paper and it's backed it up with facts and figures in terms of the population base, the demand that is there. As you say, some people would say, oh, 5% return is not great, but it is a good return in terms of these type of things.
It's huge.
500 people is a lot of people to respond to something like this. What that means then is that there's nothing to counteract that. Like, this will be accepted. Again, we won't prejudge anything, but this will be accepted by the town management committee and then go to the plenary. So then you'll have options.
Yes.
And various options will be discussed about where to build or where to site the new theatre.
Yes.
Or theatre complex, if we want to call
yes.
it, cultural centre. How many different locations have been proposed or are being looked at?
Well, when Dennis Byrne and his colleagues came down, and they're great, they're very well experienced people, but they weren't as familiar with Tramore as obviously we were. So we brought them around. I think there was 14 physical sites we identified. So, I mean, it depends how big it is, accessibility, traffic, all sorts of things. Public transport, is it close to where people live, you know? So how big is it going to be? What does it have to do? How can people get to it? How will it fit in with the surrounding environment? You know, how will it impact the local population of where it's going to be? So all these things are very carefully weighed up as regards this. And so hopefully now we're looking at the idea being feasible. And now the next step is that the council would sort of approach landowners with the idea of maybe proposing that they actually come on board with this project.
And are all those 14 potential sites, are they greenfield sites or some of them brownfield sites, or as they say, are some of them buildings that may be renovated?
It was a mixture. It was very much a mixture. But unfortunately, the problem is these days, if you're going to take old buildings, you have the problem of repurposing that building, perhaps, you know, what the character was, and then the confines of where it physically might be based. You do a greenfield site, you're halfway at the garrets maybe as well to, you know, get a nice big field or something like that. So you have to weigh all these things into consideration. How will it fit? How will it work? So basically, we're looking forward to seeing the results of the feasibility study, which will hopefully have all the answers to this, and the council will then have more than enough information and at their disposal to be able to make decisions and then act.
It's great news. It really is great news. It's big news. And fair play to you and James and everybody involved in the different groups that have worked really hard behind the scenes to get to this stage. Again, probably too many people to mention, but there are a lot of people passionate about the arts in Tramore and around Tramore, and they have worked assiduously behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I can't emphasise enough how much effort is put into this. I mean, I was saying it to James years ago. It wouldn't be any harm if Stage Mad was to, you know, be prominent in the town. And sure, he managed to cajole me to go on stage at one point, which I've never done before in my life. And I can only speak from personal experience, but it was the most exhilarating thing I think I've ever done in my life. The adrenaline is just unnatural. The buzz of the whole thing about it. And I remember as well, it's about process rather than product. You've got to remember, if we have a community theatre, the staff, the volunteers, everybody working in it, they're all part of the process. the product, which might be just plays or performances, it's like the tip of the iceberg. So, I mean, what you do is the tip of the iceberg is what people see in the stage, and the iceberg is the whole community and organisation behind it growing. And this is what we want to make for the town. So people from when they're very young in school until they're very old will be able to actively engage with what we're talking about, either as volunteers, either as actors, either as, you know, behind the scenes people, as you know, people acting, becoming involved in it, becoming patrons, volunteers. Potential is huge.
What is the overall population of Tramore at the minute, do we know, approximately?
Well, I'd say approximately, we're probably talking about 11,500 at this stage. But I mean, if we take the school as an example, when I was in secondary school, it was 250 in the school. Now there's 250 in each class. And I'm not actually that old. The school, the new school was built for, I think, 900. It now has, I think, 1,200, 1,300 students.
250 in each year, I'd say. Not
yes, 250 in each year. So the thing is, Tramore is growing exponentially. It is now a very attractive and desirable place to live. So what the town has to do through the council is provide the facilities and services to really help the town to grow into the potential that it has. I mean, if you look at the sports facilities and things in Tramore, you look at the surf club, you look at these things, the GAA, the soccer club, the athletics club, the running club, things like this, they're all bursting at the seams, looking for facilities and places to do it, to fulfil the demand that's there of a growing population of town who are young, energetic, enthusiastic, and they're looking to make lives.
They really are, and the amount of houses that have been built, you mentioned the Ring Road earlier, housing estates along the Ring Road and their various areas, and imagine a lot of those people in those houses, young enough couples, maybe with one child, other children coming on board. The next 5 to 10 years, they're going to be looking for all different types of facilities, and the sporting facilities, as you say, really in demand. But the cultural facilities, this is really important, and we know how important culture is for helping the development of children, and you know, taking people off the streets, but
Absolutely.
Also just Absolutely. Giving the place a better soul.
Absolutely. And I think social cohesion and the social capital of the town is what we're fundamentally talking about. We're talking about the social contract of Tramore. The contract between the people and the town is represented by the council. The council has an opportunity now to rise to the challenge to meet the demands of a growing population with growing needs. The town will rise to the occasion of this. I have no doubt about it. The council are rising to the occasion. I can't express my gratitude enough to council, people working in the council, the effort they have put in to get this far after 3 years. I mean, it's not just, you don't just come up with this. The council have to take into account area development plan, local development plan, spatial strategy, county, all these things have to be taken into account. So, I mean, even though it might seem a long time, and it is a long time, you really have to get your ducks in a row. This is where the hard work has been done by the council. So I think the hard work of the council is meeting the imagination of the population. And I think when the two come together, what can happen for the town can future-proof it for generations. I can't emphasise that enough.
Gareth Wise, inspirational words and inspirational work by you and James and everybody involved, and well done to Stage Mad, but all the different people involved, as we say, too many to mention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Damon. Much appreciated.
Not at
happy
all.
Happy New Year.
Many happy returns, and keep in touch. And
we will be back soon, hopefully with more news.
Please God. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My final guest this evening is Danny O'Reilly, who played a solo gig in the Theatre Royal last Friday night, and by all accounts, it was an amazing night. Now listen back here as we talk about the upcoming year for 2026 and what we can expect from Danny, and especially, of course, new music and new albums from the Coronas.
I'm great, John. How are you getting on?
I'm very good, friend. And listen, happy new year to you. How did Christmas treat you? Did you get a break, or what did you get to do?
It was great, yeah. I did the Christmas Eve busk with Glenn Hansard and a few of those lads inside in town, which was good fun, and ended up having a couple of drinks that day. But since then, it's been chilled. We had one gig on the 28th in Killarney. That was the last gig of the year for the Coronas. And yeah, very quiet New Year's in Dingle. I barely left the house, kept the head down. It's a nice little tradition I've started now every year, doing one solo show in a different county each year. And
brilliant. Now, Lisa, I think everybody I've spoken to, Danny, has said the same thing. Everybody's had a quiet Christmas this year. I think the build-up is always the busiest time, and then Christmas kind of comes on and you say, all right, that's it, I'm doing nothing, I'm chilling. I'm just going to relax.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. You have to catch up on everyone. And we had a very busy December. We had a lot of shows and kept us busy. So we were happy to have a bit of a break, I think, you know. I love doing these shows because they're just so different to the Cronus gigs. It's just me and the guitar, and I'll do some of the Cronus songs, some of the more obscure Cronus songs that I suppose we don't really get to play in the big shows, that sort of lend themselves to the I suppose the more acoustic setup, and then we're just about to go and record a new album as well, so I'm going to try and do a couple of new songs as well. But really, really buzzing for it. It's a nice way because like it's sort of more intimate. You can chat to the crowd a bit more, tell a few stories about the songs and stuff like that, and that's always fun as well, and have a bit of banter with the crowd. Whereas you know the big Cronus shows, you're just sort of like, this is the next song, and you go and you're sort of dancing around the stage. You don't really have a chance to have a chat with the crowd as such, you know. So really buzzing for it. Can't wait. As I say, the venue here is beautiful, so really, really excited about it.
It's a lovely venue, at Theatre Royal, absolutely fantastic. Literally, I was only there a couple of weeks ago for a panto, a completely different to your kind of gig, but what a great experience, though. Oh yes, it was. but the whole thing about it is that, you know, you do this, and then of course 2026 is upon us. Like, you know, what's the big plan then for the Coronas next, Danny?
Yeah, well, we're actually going off to record a brand new album, and we're leaving next weekend. We're going over to America to record with an amazing producer called Peter Cadis, and who we've worked with before. He's mixed us our last couple of records, but he's going to take on production duties for the next album, and we're really excited about it. We have a bunch of songs that we're really happy with, and looking forward to seeing what happens. I think it's going to be a little bit different for us. I think in a good way. I don't know. It's hard to know yet. The songs are sort of leaning, I think, more back to old school, you know, maybe a little bit more stripped back Coronas stuff. And it's coming together really well. And we're excited about heading over there. We're going to be over in America for a month recording. And then we'll be back at it in the summer. By the time we get the album all mixed and ready to go, we'll start releasing songs, I'd say, later in the year. And that's the plan. We've got a handful of shows already on sale for next year. We're playing in King John's Castle in Limerick, and we've got a couple of shows around. We're playing in Galway as well. And yeah, I think it'll be slightly quieter, I'd say, year for us, because we're probably only going to release the album later in the year by the time it gets all ready to go and everything. So we'll be back with a bang in 2027 with a lot more shows. But we've still enough to keep us going anyway. We'll be busy enough.
It's mad, is it, already? We're only a couple of days into it, and you know, you have to plan so far ahead, don't you?
It's crazy, really. Yeah. Even with touring and stuff like that, you really make a plan like almost 18 months in advance, which is mad. But in another way, it's great because you know, okay, well, that's all sorted and that's all out in front of us, and that's going to be fun, like, you know. So we haven't really taken much time off, really, since, I mean, we released two albums in COVID and then another one since, and you know, we've sort of just went one album into the other. So I think after we record this, we'll take a couple of months, you know, before the summer, before we get back into gig. And I think our next gig isn't till May, so I think after we do a bit of recording, we'll sit back and sort out the mixing and see how the album sounds. But we'll look forward to having a couple of months off, I'd say around March and April, I think.
The talent, and I mean this now genuinely, the talent that you'll bring on the stage tonight is only seconded by the interaction from the audience and the fans that are going to be there as well tonight, isn't it?
It is. I always say about Corona shows, our gigs are made by the crowd and how much they get into it and how much they sing along, and that's really where the magic comes from, and we're just part of that experience, you know. And we're very lucky to have you know, an audience who will come see us and have stayed with us really through the years, you know. And it's hard to believe, like, our first album came out like in 2007, which seems like a long time ago now. Now, we were only kids when we were doing it, but it was we feel very lucky to be still doing it all these years later, and people still come and see us. But it's been going great, and as I say, long may it continue.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's going great because you guys are a hardworking band, and you do what you have to do, and you're there and you're chatting to people and you're meeting people and literally putting out fantastic, excellent performances every time and everywhere you go, and it's always a pleasure. Well, listen, always glad to have you back. Will you pop into us again when the new album is ready to go into the station?
Absolutely, of course, John. Thanks so much for having me, and it's nice to chat to you.
You too, Danny. Happy New Year to you. Cheers, and break a leg tonight, too. Buddy. All right. Thanks very
Thanks
much.
Thanks, cheers, cheers, cheers. To me.
Well, that's it from the show this evening. My thanks to Pat Grant, Garrett Wise and Danny O'Reilly, and to yourself for listening. The full show will be available for playback on the podcast section of the WLR website. John O'Shea is next. Have a lovely evening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow on The Spin Home on WLR.